you, Ian. Hello, everyone. I'm Vicky McCall. I'm a Professor of Social Policy at the University of Stirling and also Creative Director of Social Ludo, which is a serious games social enterprise where we're trying to make change, kind of societal change, and bring the power of serious games to get people to understand those systems and places and the potential of what they can do in any role that they're in. I'm also the person that's getting a bit of an odd reputation as the genius who called her game the Connections Recommended game in the programme. I promise that wasn't me. That was definitely Jim did that. But I want to talk about the new game that we're developing with resilience expert Rob Gaston, and that is about resilience. And that's funded by the National Centre for Resilience. Next. And the aim is to design and publish a new, free, co-produced, participatory serious game for communities that simulates climate change hazards and solutions. And in fact, normally what we do is work with health, social care, housing experts, and we teach them their part in the system, where they are in the jigsaw, but also where they sit in that wider system and where they can change, kind of instigate paradigm shifts, try to get them to empathise with lived experiences. But in a way, this game is taking the next step to actually give them the tools to teach them how to do a serious game, give them a free tool to engage the people that matter the most, the communities that they're working with. So we're trying to spread the serious game potential in different ways because we know that the power of it. There's so much more to it than looking at a PowerPoint slide when you're playing the game and you're going through the system. And thank you for the shout out. I assure you meant it's not an awful game. It was the awful system that we were playing in. Yeah. So, for example, yesterday with the Pathways Paradox game that a lot of you joined in on was around the homelessness system. And you got people to take vignettes of lived experiences of being homeless, real ones that we'd done and co-produced with people in a charity, Social Bite, and play the system. And in the space of an hour, realise very quickly how traumatic it can be from the service user's perspective. And I suppose, for me, that's how we make serious change, when you get people to personalise the big ticket items out there that are really difficult to get our heads around. Next slide, please. That started with, for example, trying to get people to think about the ageing population, which is really, really difficult because nobody thinks they're growing older. Being older is always 10 years older than you are right this second. And I've interviewed 93-year-olds who think older people are down the hall. You know, so when these big things are not personalised, you don't tend to do anything about it. And climate change and resilience is a topic just like that. It's out there. It's so big. What can I as an individual do to actually change this? It's just inevitable. So serious games are a good way of showing how you can do that, where you are as an individual and system, why is it a private trouble, but also a public issue and your space within that. So that's what we've been doing and what we're wanting to develop. Next slide, please. So our objectives are to develop and design a community resilience game, and the scale of the people we want to play it are, you know, scout groups, it's high schools, it's community groups, councils, you know, across. That's who we want to get involved and play these serious games. They're really difficult to get into, and people are burnt out a little bit by consultation and things like that. So what we want to offer is something a bit different, fun, but yet serious. And we're co-producing that, looking at different scenarios, exploring from the ground up the challenges community face. It could be flooding, it could be blackouts, it could be transport, it can be all of these things, but they're usually connected to infrastructure. And trying to get communities to realise that actually climate change isn't out there and it is going to affect us. Something will happen, and how ready are we? And we'll play test that in two specific communities. We're looking at the Scottish Borders in Scotland and also Clackmannanshire, both areas which have been affected by once-in-a-generation flooding that seems to happen every year. So we're focused on, you know, places that have maybe a bit of a skin in the game, as it were, around getting ready around resilience. So we'll have all the game's materials ready so that they can access that, but more importantly, the stakeholders that are in these areas can access it and use it to engage communities in a wider sense, not just the everyday ones that engage, but engage a lot more people around the topic. Next slide, please. So looking to these specific areas, they're really good ones to start with. And we're doing research by doing focus groups with the key stakeholders, such as the head of place, the transport people that are involved in all of that. And the local authorities are really engaged, actually, which is probably the hardest part to get going. And we're also done some community surveys, looking and exploring what's important to them. Once we'd kind of taken out all of the comments about dog poo and bins, we got to some really good stuff about flooding. So what we'd like to do is absolutely ground our research in real people's lives, you know, what's important to them. And the research is a big part of it because I'm an academic. So that means that when we've got a game, it'll be relevant to the kind of challenges people are facing day to day. And this is actually a picture of one of those areas. And I'm going to hand over to Rob at this point to talk more about the resilience part of the day.
Hello, everybody. My name is Rob Grayston. By day, I work for the British Transport Police. Anything I say here is nothing to do with my employer, just to get that out of the way before anyone has a listen from work. So, effectively, what we wanted to do here was to make sure there was an easily accessible game for people in all sorts of communities. Vicky's already laid a load of that out. The Scottish Centre for Resilience has a fantastic little card game. Some of you may have already seen it. I have a copy in my bag as part of my everyday carry that they have sent to all the primary schools in Scotland. We need more stuff like this because currently warning and informing in the UK around any resilience issue is not very good. So, as you can see, this is the kind of thing we're up against. This is what we're starting with. Blackouts were mentioned. There's all sorts of other effects, impacts. Extreme weather, assorted, because of where we are, grey zone, sort of naughty stuff, which doesn't quite reach threshold for throwing some hypersonics around. But this is effectively a foray into making sure these things are out there and people can have a go at learning about resilience for themselves, because it's not really in the popular consciousness right now. And as a quick show of hands, who here is currently involved as a resilience professional in their day job? Brilliant, good, okay, I can not quite get away with making up anything, but it's nice to know what I'm working with. And it's good to see a lot of people who are not in the resilience space, because if you look at what's come out recently, the Strategic Defence Review, National Security Strategy, Resilience Action Plan, we are talking about this in more places than just the UKRA, UK Resilience Academy, which did get a shout out earlier. Very happy about that. So next slide, please. Here we go. I'm going to talk a little bit about the game and a bit about resilience issues in general. So one of the things that's been repeated ad nauseum everywhere, and we had the word voluntold earlier, good word, people being told you have to go and do this thing because we're telling you to, around often more defence security-based games, but here for resilience. And the idea is that there will be a product created which can be put in front of people that they can play in a short time frame that is print and play. And it will be made available to all of these various different stakeholders, all these different parts of the community, especially community councils in England, parish councils. And the idea is that the clerk will be able to pull people together and say, okay, before we look at the cemetery committee agenda stuff, we're going to spend 20 minutes on this. So the idea is that there will be a flooding scenario and people have to think about these different aspects which have been abstracted to a place that we're hoping people can understand. Because there are many different moving parts, and I don't want to start getting into best practice and resilience and JESIP and JOL and all sorts of acronyms, because we've all got acronyms and they get a bit boring after a while. But boiling it down into things that people can get their head around. So you've got your local community. What do people do immediately? Does the church get opened? Does clerk of the previously mentioned community council open up the local office? You've got your voluntary agencies, so your Red Cross, your Search and Rescue's local authority, key for buy-in in lots of resilience scenarios, and emergency services. So often blue lights, sometimes slightly more specialised. Get these, put them in front of people who don't know a lot about resilience, and talk to them about what do they do, what can they do specifically, because when things happen and they're not great, people often say, it's okay, someone will come and save me. Not always necessarily the case, and they don't always understand how that might happen. So setting expectations, as with everything in life, hugely important, and if people understand what is possible, then when we start to go down the Sweden route and issue a little document that says in case of crisis or war, people will be more ready to deal with what's coming. So I think I've dealt with the accessibility in terms of it has to be simple. It is effectively, for most people here, you look at it as a gamer, a lot of you as gamers, and go, this is quick and easy and I might have solved it potentially. We want it to be something you could put in front of someone, never played a game before, doesn't really understand, and they just get it quickly. Necessary abstraction, as also mentioned, and then case studies and localisation. So the place thing, which you mentioned, head of place in local authority, that's a specific role, and people will want to make sure that what they live is reflected. So an urban situation, because this is based in Scotland, it could be the middle of Glasgow. The rural situation, we had a picture from some flooding that happened in Scotland. People want to see their location, they want to feel a bit of ownership. It helps engage them, it helps them see why this matters. So this is something we're very keen to get in there, which is, it's not just some generic place, but it feels right. Immersion gets talked about a lot, but effectively feeling that this is plausible, credible, it's got roughly the right vibe, very important for something like this. And also case studies. We're looking at a web-based component to this, so people can print this out, but they can also look at stuff online, and they can see what's happened before, how to do this, so there will be support for them. If they've just got something printed out, great. But we want to make sure that there is that framework around it so that they are supported. In terms of the game otherwise, I'm happy to talk about all sorts of resiliency game-esque bits and pieces, but also I'd like to hear some questions from people. So I'm going to say at this point, next slide, please. Oh, there we go, questions. So thank you very much, and I look forward to all of your interesting questions about resilience.